try, and again, I apologize. I don't know. There's different styles of shiurim that people come to, and I try to give a little bit of all of those styles. So if you came expecting a certain style and you end up with a very different style, again, I apologize in advance. But Hoshana Rav is a very big day. Hoshana Rav is a very mysterious day. Hoshana Rav, the Zohar says, is the day that it's the night and the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, so to speak, his final assessments of the Jewish people. That everything that we've been working on really from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, or maybe even before that, certainly what we've been working on since Rosh Hashanah, is coming to its chasima. It's a day that, again, is totally, talking to some of the guys earlier today, is a day that's totally shrouded in mystery. If you look in the Gemara doesn't talk about Hoshana Rav as being the Gemara chasima. But many, many tzaddikim have told us, and it's based on the Zohar, and it's based on Sifrei Chassidus, that while the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tes Zayin, says that Yom Kippur and the Ilah and the gates are closing and it's the last chance, that's, so to speak, the Gemara Chasima. The Zohar writes in Parsha Sav, and alludes to it in other places as well, that Hoshana Rabbah, that what's going to happen in this Yom, and this Laila of Tefillah and Torah, over the next 24 hours is really the last chance to negotiate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So while in Nigla, while in revealed Torah, what's done is done. According to Torah Sanistar, according to Pnimiyas Torah, the inner world of Torah, the deeper dimensions of Torah, we still have Hoshana Rabbah to negotiate with HaKadosh Baruch. That the notes that were, so to speak, written on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are being handed over to be executed, to be carried out in accordance with whatever each person's din is. And now we have a last moment, a last chance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hopefully, if things are not exactly the way they need to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reassess, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can open up the note one more time and put in a few last good things for the Jewish people. Like I said, it's a big mystery. It's a big mystery. It's very hard if you were to even ask me, where should I look to learn more about Hoshana Rabbah? Again, I can show you little pieces in different svarim, but it's a very mysterious day. But by the big tzaddikim, this was as big as Yom Kippur, if not bigger than Yom Kippur. The amount of tefillos that were davened on Hoshana Rabbah, the amount of bechios, the crying, the na'anuim, the shaking of the lulav, the walking around by the Hoshanas, the taking of the arava, was a very, 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 very big thing. My wife actually showed me, she saw in Mishpacha magazine that the Suchina Rebbe Shlita, one year it was in these days leading up to Hoshana Rabbah, and Alachas Kam V'Kam, all the more so on Hoshana Rabbah, he spends a lot of time shaking his lulav. The Na'anuim and the Hoshanas, it's a very big thing. So someone came over to him and said, Rebbe, you know, it's taking a long time, we still have to have a Suda, a festive meal. He says, maybe we could, you know, speed it up, you know, shake a little faster, just move the davening along. You know, it's already been like the entire day. And we have there's a lot to do. So the Rebbe said back to him, he said, okay, he said, you just tell me which person of our kehila I shouldn't have in mind when I'm davening, and then we'll be able to speed things up. So needless to say, the chassid felt after that, the Rebbe could take as much time as he needs. And the tzaddikim, this was a big opportunity to renegotiate with the Kaddish Baruch. Last year, Hoshana Rabbah, we also had a very mysterious year. We spoke about the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah and Daf Nun Hei, Tosfos, the Yerushalmi at the beginning of the fourth parak of Sukkah, how there was a tremendous effort made by Chazal to ensure that Hoshana Rabbah shouldn't fall out on Shabbos. Because if Hoshana Rabbah occurs on Shabbos, right, on some level we lose Hoshana Rabbah. We can't have Hoshana Rabbah the way that it's meant to be. So with great creativity, Chazal protected Hoshana Rabbah that it shouldn't fall out on Shabbos to allow us to fully practice the ceremony of the Hoshanas. And the Beis HaMikdash was a little different. I want to start tonight with another Talmud Yerushalmi, a very cryptic statement in the Talmud Yerushalmi, not a Maseches Sukkah, but a Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Again, I'm sorry if there was time I would have made my makomos for people to follow along. Just everything was very, very rushed. In the fourth parak of the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yonah, there are 2 days that every single Jew comes to shul. Amar Rabbi Yonah. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Va'osi yom yom yidroshu. Pasuk in Yeshaya perak nun ches. Va'osi, and me, God says, me, yom yom, one day and another day, yidroshu, and they will be doresh me, they will seek me out. Says the Gemara, Zotikia v'arava. This refers to Rosh Hashanah, and this refers to Arava, the day of the Aravos, Hoshana Rabbah. Says the Pnei Moshe, one of the classic commentaries on the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says it's a day Tekiah and Arava Shakol Bam Lispal Yachad BeBeis HaKnesses. People who don't necessarily come to shul all the time, if there's 2 days you have to pick to come to shul, it's the beginning of the process of din. It's Rosh Hashanah when Hashem, so to speak, opens the books and begins analyzing and assessing and writing what's going to be for the coming year. And it's Hoshana Rab, it's the last chance. It's already hinted to in this Yerushalmi. Again, it doesn't say clearly in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the revealed Torah, that this is a day of din. But it says that every Jew comes to shul on this day. It says the Karban Eida, the other classic commentary on the Yerushalmi. Hakol Darshin Es Hashem Migedolam Ad Ketanim. This is the day that the big Jews and the small Jews, everyone knows this. These are the days to come to shul. Namely, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Zayin Shel Arava and Hoshana Rabbah. V'akol Notlin HaRava. Everyone comes to hear Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. And everyone comes to take the Aravos. And again, maybe not everyone, Bizman Azeh, comes to shul. Many women, it's more difficult, have responsibilities to the children and the family. But even so, there's still an Indian of buying. My wife's not planning on coming to shul tomorrow. It's just not realistic with our family setup and her responsibilities. She sends me as the shliach to shul. But I'm going to bring her a bundle of Arava. And she's going to take those 5 Aravos in her hand, and she's going to hit them on the floor in accordance with the Minhagim. And again, it's a strange thing. And you start to try to research it, and it'll be very hard to figure out what is it? Yom Chibut Arava, you're beating the Arava on the ground. It's a very, very strange and mysterious practice. But again, you see it's a major, major day of Tefillah. It's a day to open our mouths more than ever before. Beis Halevi even brings, he says, one of the reasons we use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah is because we don't trust our own mouths. Because we speak Lashon Hara, and we say things we shouldn't say. Right? So even though we daven a lot on Rosh Hashanah, but we still use the shofar a lot, that primal scream of the shofar, because I don't trust my own lips. When it comes to Yom Kippur, I trust myself a little bit more, I speak that much more, but I still end the day with a shofar blast, as if to say, in case everything I said is not good enough, Hashem, right, let the shofar, which is pure and innocent, let the shofar cry out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then we come to Hoshana Rabbah, and it's an unbelievable day of tefillah, where there is no shofar. That we come and we trust our lips. We're going to talk about the Aravos correspond to the lips. It's an unbelievable day of tefillah, and it's an opportunity to daven, perhaps like no other day of the calendar year. What else do we know about Hoshana Rabbah? What are some of the obvious pieces that we know? And again, we're trying to put together a puzzle tonight. And we'll have a lot of the pieces hopefully by the end of our time together, but we won't have all the pieces. The sugya is open, and I ask you to partner with me in researching it further. What do we know? What are the obvious things about Hoshana Rabbah that we know? So again, we know that again it's referred to as Yom Arava. It's the day of the Arava. It's the day that in addition to the Dalet Minim, where we take together the Esrog, the Lulav, Hadassim, and Aravos, it's a day where we make a special ceremony. Again, is it a Minog? Is it more than a Minog? Whatever it is, it's a big deal. And we highlight the Aravos. It's a day where the Aravos stand out. Okay, so that's one thing. That's a puzzle piece we have to use to analyze this sugya. The Aravos play a critical role on the day of Hoshana Rabbah. What else do we know about Hoshana Rabbah? We come to the last day of Sukkot. Who is our guest on Hoshana Rabbah, the Ushpizin? David HaMelech. Okay, so we have two very critical and very, so to speak, mainstream puzzle pieces. We have the Aravos, and we have David HaMelech. Okay. It's interesting. We've been saying L'David Hashem Ori for a long time now. Chazal say, L'David Hashem Ori V'ishi, Chazal explain some of those phrases in that paragraph of David HaMelech's words in Tehillim. L'David Hashem Ori. When is Hashem Ori? When is Hashem my light? The Medrash says, in Vayikra Rabbah, on Rosh Hashanah. Yishi, when is Hashem my salvation? The Medrash says, Yom Kippur. What comes next in the Pasuk? Ki Yitzpeneini Basuko. Hashem conceals us in the Sukkah. The Medrash doesn't comment, but it's very obvious, and many Svarim HaKadoshim, Sefer Chassidus point out, that that's an obvious reference to Sukkos. Afterwards, it's going to say, Yasti Reini B'Seser Ahalo. Hashem, you conceal me in your private chamber. Shemini Atzeres, the Yom Tov Haba Aleinu L'Tova, Shemini Atzeres is a time when we don't offer karbanos as we've been doing throughout Sukkot for the nations of the world. It's a private time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very concealed time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a phrase right in between. It says, Ori Rosh Hashanah, Yishi Yom HaKippurim. Then it says, Ki Yitzpeneini Basuko is Sukkot. It's going to say right afterwards, Yastereini B'Seser O'olo is going to be a reference to Shemini Atzeres. But right in between it says that Hashem puts us in the Sukkah, B'Yom Ra'ah. B'Yom Ra'ah. So last year I was thinking, I was trying to, where's Hoshana Rabbah in this? Following the pattern. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, very clear. Shmini Atzeres hinted to very nicely. Where's Hoshana Rabbah? And then I realized, Biyom Ra'ah is the same letters as Yom Arava. Literally, the exact same letters as Yom Arava, the day of the Aravos. That's how the Sfarim refer to Hoshana Rabbah, as Yom Arava, the day of the Aravos. So literally, in the words of David Melch, you see this beautiful flow. You see that this is the essence of the day. Hoshana Rabbah is the day where the Aravos stand out. It's the day where David HaMelech, the seventh and final Ushpizin, David Malka Meshicha, tonight we have Malava Malka, it's Motzei Shabbos, all the more so, it's the night of David HaMelech, that much more so the Kochos of David HaMelech, the characteristics of David HaMelech are that much more pronounced tonight. So these are the pieces that we have to work with. The Aravos and David HaMelech. Okay, so now let's analyze those pieces. What do we know about the Aravos? So I mentioned earlier, it's based on the Medrash Tanchuma, that the Dal and Minim correspond to different body parts. The Dal and Minim correspond to different body parts. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Emor says, Ulekachtem lachem, take for yourself, Pri Etzadar, take an Esrog, take a Lulav, take a Dasam, take a Ravos. But it also means, Ulekachtem lachem, take yourself. Take yourself means that what you're holding in your hand are all the critical pieces of yourself. Says the Medrash, this is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem mikamocha. Let all of my being say, God, who is like you? Says the Medrash, Yafa Amar David. David said a good thing. Why? Because the lulav is like the spine. And the hadasim are like the eyes. And the esrog is like the heart. And the aravos, says the Medrash, correspond to sasayim, the lips. So therefore, Hoshana Rabbah, the day of the lips, the day of the aravos, the day where we trust our speech and we daven and daven and daven as much as we can to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's anything that needs to be corrected, anything that needs to be fixed from the entire process, from Rosh Hashanah, where it all began, where everyone came to Shul, says the Talmud Yerushalmi. To Hoshana Rabbah, everyone's coming to Shul once again. Last licks. Last chance. Bottom of the ninth. A chance to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to renegotiate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Aravos. David HaMelech. David HaMelech is also the exact same thing. David HaMelech, if I had to pick a characteristic that defines David HaMelech, it's tefillah. So much so that David HaMelech says about himself in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuftes, V'ani tefillah. I am tefillah. I am tefillah, David says. My whole essence is tefillah. So Hoshana Rabbah is the day of the lips. Hoshana Rabbah is the day of David HaMelech. Hoshana Rabbah is an unbelievable day of tefillah. To say it a little bit more Kabbalistically, for those who understand, we talk about the seven emotional attributes of God. Corresponding to the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, the seven Ushpizin, right? Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. David HaMelech. The Midah of David HaMelech is Malchus. Says the Tikkunei Zohar, in the introduction to the Tikkunei Zohar, that each of these seven characteristics correspond to a body part. David HaMelech, Malchus, corresponds to a body part. What body part does this correspond to? Avram is Chesed, is the right arm. Yitzchak is Gvura, is the left arm. The Tikkunei Zohar goes to the body parts. It says Malchus is Peh. Malchus is Peh. So here we have on Hoshana Rabbah. Again, the emphasis on the lips. The Aravos which compare to the lips. David HaMelech. David HaMelech, whose Va'anit Tefillah, his whole essence is davening. And his Midah, his spiritual essence, so to speak, embodied by the Svira, by the attribute of Malchus, which again, according to Tikkunei Zohar, corresponds to the body part of the lips. Okay? So we have what to work with. Now I want to zoom out, I want to really rewind, really to the beginning of time, and I want to try to put Hoshana Rabbah as a time of not just, in a broader context, not just fixing whatever happened during the Yom Noran, not the chance to make the final touches, so to speak, on our Gemar Din, but to look at it in much broader strokes of all of world history. Because everything that we're trying to do in the world today, every problem that we have, right, in the entire world, whether it's terrorism or a flat tire on the highway, it all goes back to Adam and Chava messing up with the Eitz Hadas. That when Adam and Chava were nichshel, when they didn't listen to Hashem, and they caused that kilkel, that terrible tragedy, that terrible mistake of Chet Eitz Hadas, the world became broken. The world, so to speak, fell off its axis. And the world is not a stable place anymore. And the avoda of every Jewish person, through everything we do, whether it's Torah, whether it's Tefillah, whether it's Chesed, everything that we do is a means of trying to fix a little bit to correct what went wrong with Adam HaRishon. Now the Arizal says that if you look at Adam's name, Adam, the all-encompassing man, you actually see something that's very relevant to what we're talking about tonight. Because the Arizal writes in one of his svarim that Adam, the all-encompassing man, who had the potential to make the world a perfect place and destroyed the world, and we're trying to fix that world, and we're all part of that continuation of Adam, of mankind. Says the Arizal, Adam is Rashi Tevo, spells out Aleph Dalet Mem, stands for Adam, David, Mashiach. Adam, David, Mashiach. Which means if we talk about Adam being the beginning of time, we talk about Mashiach as the end of time, then tonight, Hoshana Rabbah, as we invite into our sukkah, our final guest, right, at the end of time, both again in terms of the period of Sukkot, the period of the Yom Noram, and the period of world history, as we wait for Mashiach and its imminent arrival, so we talk about Adam David Mashiach. We talk about David being, so to speak, that conduit to bring us, to serve as that middle ground, that place by Emtza, to connect Adam, what Adam could have been, to Mashiach, to the perfected man that he is. And everything that we're trying to do is to fix that. Now, who more than anyone led the way in making some of those tikkunim, in fixing and getting the world on track? It was the Avos. And I need to summarize to you a piece, a very critical piece, to understand our shir, from the Or Gedalia. Rav Gedalia Shor was a Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas. He wrote a magnificent sefer. It was written based on his teachings, the Or Gedalia. And in Parshas Toldos, he has a long explanation, which I'm going to summarize for you in the next couple minutes, of sort of the role of the Avos HaKadoshim, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and how they got us on the path, along with their spouses, the holy Imos, that they got us on the path towards fixing the chait of Adam Arishon. The Or Gedaliah says that everything the Avos were created to do is to fix the chait of Adam Arishon, each one in his own way. Avram had his outstanding characteristics, and Yitzchak had his, and Yaakov had his, and each one of them is trying to fix a little bit. The Medrash actually says that why was Avram not created as the first man? Because if Adam's going to mess up, let Avram come and fix his mistake. So Avram leads the way in beginning the fixing of the chait of Adam Arishon. And the Ramchal has a long arichos in the Derech Hashem, how Avram is doing his part, and Yitzchak's doing his part, and Yaakov's doing his part. To talk again in very broad strokes, Avram is focused on the midah of chesed. Avram is focused on positive fixing, on the mitzvahs asei, on asei tov, on doing good. And Yitzchak, whose midah is gevura, Yitzchak, who's very restrained, as is very clear from just the simplistic reading of the story of Yitzchak in the Torah, Yitzchak, who's tied down to the kiddus Yitzchak, Yitzchak, who's very restrained, is focusing on the don't do's, the los asei. Sor meira, withdraw from negativity. And Avram is working on his part, and Yitzchak is working on his part. Who's supposed to continue, listen carefully, who's supposed to continue the work of Avram and Yitzchak? Well, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav were both meant to be Avos. And this is going to be a major part of what we're going to develop tonight. The Shlach Kadosh says that when the Torah tells us that Yaakov and Esav were twins, v'hinei tumim bivitna, that Rivka's carrying twins, that she has Yaakov and Esav inside of her, that they're twins, that they're deeply connected, that they come from one Shoresh. The Shlach Kadosh actually says that Yaakov and Esav correspond to the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas, Tovera. Yaakov is the Eitz HaChaim, Yaakov is the perfect tree in Gan Eden. And Esav is the Eitz HaDas, Tovera, the tree which led man to sin, that caused everything to crumble. And the Svarim say that the two trees actually also were sprouting from the same root. The same way that the Shlach Kadosh says that Yaakov and Esav came from a single drop of seed. Now again, that's a question in terms of the development of twins and the fertilization of egg. It's a question both in terms of explaining the Pesukim of the Chumash, Rashi's famous comment about the order in which they were conceived. Right? And it's also a question in terms of the science of how twins are actually conceived. But that's what the Shlach writes. The Shlach says they came from a single drop, they came from a single source. The same way the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChaim, actually, if you would have seen them underground, were rooted in a single source. And they were meant to emerge, Yaakov and Esav were meant to emerge as a continuation of the avoda of Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov was like Adam Arishon before the sin. Esav, says the Or Gedaliah, was like Adam after the sin. Adam before the sin didn't really have a connection to any negativity. The negativity, that voice of the Yetzer Hara, the Nachash, was outside of him. After he sinned, so to speak, the poison, the filth of the Nachash contaminated him on the inside. That's why Esav, later in history, in the embodiment of the dynasty of Esav, Edom, is compared to what animal? The pig. The pig that displays its hooves and says, look on the outside, look how kosher I am. But on the inside it's rotten, it doesn't chew its cud. It's not a kosher animal. So Yaakov and Esav are meant to be this continuation of Adam. They're supposed to try to somehow to fix what went wrong by the Eitz Hadas. Yaakov was Adam before he sinned, and Esav is supposed to be the one who corrects the sin. Really, Esav was the one who was assigned to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. To somehow fix that blend of Tov V'ra that the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra is the embodiment of. So let's go a step further. Says the Or Gedaliah, what do we know about Esav? On the outside, Esav is beautiful. Esav presents himself, when he was born, he's a complete, he's a wholesome person. Right? He's so full, he's so complete. He's asoy, he's done, he's ready-made man. Esav knows how to talk the talk. Kitzayid bepiv. He was able to trick his father Yitzchak with what? With his peh, with his mouth. With his deceptive speech. But the Arizal says that while Esav had a holy spark, it remained mibachutz, it remained on his lips. He, so to speak, he never swallowed it inside. He never was able to take some of that holiness and bring it into himself. And therefore, because that Esav lost the opportunity to be one of the Avos. Four Imos, there should have been four Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Esav. Yaakov should have had six Shvatim, and Esav should have had six Shvatim. This is all a summary of what the Or Gedaliah writes. So Avram was supposed to be continued by the Avoda of Yaakov. That was the positive aspect. The positive side of what needed to be maintained in the world. And Yitzchak and Esav, and that's why Yitzchak loved Esav so much, because he saw the potential in Esav, were supposed to fix the negative side of things, the Sor Meira. Torah tells at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak. These are the descendants of Yitzchak. Says Rashi, Yaakov Ve'esav Ha'amurim B'Parsha. Everyone asks, what's Rashi telling us? We know who Yitzchak's children are, thank you very much. Yaakov and Esav, what are you saying? But the way the Svarim explained it, again the Or Gedaliah explains it as part of this long 5-page essay that he has, he says what Rashi's saying is that Esav could have been one of the true, authentic children of Yitzchak. Esav didn't have to become that rebellious one who failed to play his part in history. Esav straight, he could have been one of the Avos. When the Gemara in Nedarim says, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lecha zara, which the Gemara understands, be Yitzchak, part of Yitzchak is going to be the continuation of the Jewish people, but not all of Yitzchak. That was the moment that Esav didn't make the cut. But we could have read that pasuk differently. It could have been ki bi Yitzchak, beiz Yitzchak, both children of Yitzchak could have been Zara, could have been part of Zara Yisrael. The Gemara even refers to Esav as the Yisrael Mumar, a rebellious Jew. He could have been it, he could have been one of the Avos. And unfortunately, Esav failed to take his place in world history. Yitzchak understood that Esav was struggling. Yitzchak understood that he had a lot of those same characteristics that Esav had. And therefore Yitzchak so badly wanted to give the bracha to Esav. Because he understood, as the Ramban explains in Parshas Ekev, that a bracha gives a person that extra boost of energy to carry out their mission in this world. But Rivka saw it wasn't going to work. And therefore Rivka came, and she guided her son Yaakov. She said, Esav's not going to make it. You need to take the place of Esav. And the Or Gedaliah concludes his essay with an unbelievable idea. What happens when Yaakov takes over for Esav? It's not just that Esav doesn't become one of the Avos and Yaakov picks up six extra Shvatim. But it's more than that. When Yaakov goes in to get the brachos, right? And Yitzchak's all confused. Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. But the hands are the hands of Esav. Something strange is going on here. Even the language that he's using when he's standing there before his father and he says, sit up please my father. Kum na avi. Sit up please. What? Kum na. Esav doesn't usually speak that way. That despite Esav, kitzayid b'fiv, tricking people with his lips, but even Yitzchak knew, something's off. The speech of Esav is off. The speech of Esav is off. And therefore when Yaakov walks in, and Yaakov says, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, I am Esav your firstborn. He's telling the truth. At that point he took over for Esav. He is Esav from this point forward. And that's why he's tricking. Yaakov's an ishtam. How does he know how to trick all of a sudden? He's deceiving his father. How can he do that? Because now he's playing Esav. He's taking on the role of Esav. And he's going to try to pick up the slack and correct for that which Esav failed to correct. This is what the Or Gedaliah says in about 6 or 7 pages with many edits, selected edits by myself. But that's the summary of the Or Gedaliah and Parshas Toldos. There's a lot to unpack there. In the sugya of Yaakov and Esav. But I want to focus again on that one key difference. I want to focus on Kitzayid B'Piv, that Esav is a charlatan who deceives with his lips. He failed to use his mouth in the proper way. Everything that he nearly stole the brachos, which would have been disastrous for Klal Yisrael, was because of the lies that he had perpetuated with his lips, as opposed to Yaakov. That Yaakov, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the pure and innocent voice of Yaakov. The Majlis Rebbe says a beautiful thing. Again, we're going to have to talk, since we're learning the deep secrets of Torah, we have to talk in the level of deep secrets of the Torah, talk in the level of Remes. The Majlis Rebbe says a very deep thing. The Majlis Rebbe says, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. Yaakov is an authentic person. The inside parallels the outside. The Medrash says about Esav, he was Echad Bepev, Echad Belev. What he said was not what he really meant. Yaakov is the very opposite. The inner voice and the outer voice of Yaakov are 100% aligned. The things that Yaakov says are a true expression, Tochel Kabaro, his inside is like his outside, it's his true expression of who he is. So the Majlis Rebbe, the Divrei Yisrael, Yisrael of Majlis, the first Majlis Rebbe says, take the word Kol. What does it mean, Hakol Kol Yaakov? The voice is the voice of Yaakov. Take the word Kol, Kuf Vav Lamed, and spell out the letters of Kol. How do you spell out Kuf? Spell out the letter, Kuf. Kuf Vav Pei. Spell out Vav, Vav Yud Vav. Spell out Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalet. The inner letters that emerge. So say, for example, in the word Kuf, Kuf Vav Pei. If you take the Vav Pei, the inner letters, the hidden aspect of Kol, the hidden aspect of the letter Kuf, of Vav, and the letter Lamed, the inner letters also equal 136, Kol. They also equal Kol. Because HaKol Kol Yaakov, his inner voice and his outer voice were perfectly aligned. What he said was what he really meant. Tochel Kabaro. When God created man, and he blew in a shaman into each and every one of us. He made man, like the Torah says at the beginning of Bereishis, Lenefesh Chaya. Man is meant to be a Nefesh Chaya. Rashi and Unkelah say a speaking spirit. The essence of our humanity, the essence of everything that Adam HaRishon is supposed to be, is in his speech. And the Nachash deceives him with his speech. And Esav fails to correct with his speech. And therefore, Yaakov says, Hakol Kol Yaakov. I'll take on the double voice. I'll correct. I'll somehow be able to fix everything that my brother is deceiving my father in. But yeah, Yitzchak has Esav kitzayid b'fiv. But it's trickery. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's not who he really is. Nafshi yotza b'dabro, it says in Shir HaShir. That one's nefesh, one's inner essence is expressed by one's speech. And the speech of Esav is nothing but lies. And therefore Yaakov says, I'll become Esav. Anochi Esav b'charecha. I'll take over the avoda for my brother. What became of Esav? Now let's fast forward back to our times. What became of Esav? That's the story of the brachos. That's the story of Yaakov and Esav from the beginning of time up to Parshas Toldos. What became of Esav today? Well, from the fact that Mashiach's not here, from the fact that the chet of Eitz Hadas has yet to be corrected, apparently there's still a lot of work to do. Apparently, as much as Yaakov wanted to take on the role of Esav and fix everything that Esav was supposed to do, Esav again being the bechina, the expression of the Eitz Hadas Tovera, that blend, that mix that Esav wasn't able to grapple with, and Yaakov says, I'll take it on, but we don't have Mashiach yet. We're still grappling. We're still trying to fix. And where do we find ourselves today? We find ourselves in Golas Edom. We know that there are four exiles in Jewish history. The Medrash says so very clearly. Golas Bavel, the Babylonians who destroyed the first base of Mikdash, Paras Umadai, that's the Purim story. Yavan, that's Hanukkah, that's the midway point of Bayis Sheni. And then of course, Golas Edom, the Romans, Edom, who came and destroyed the second base of Mikdash because of our sins, because of our sin of Sinas Chinam. And that's where we find ourselves today. We're still in Golas Edom. The Torah is very clear. The Torah says that Esav is called Edom. It's an open pasuk in Chumash. That the gullus that we're in today is the gullus of Esav. Which means that we're still trying to fix everything that Esav failed to do. And this gullus, in many ways, is the all-encompassing gullus. It's the all-encompassing gullus. It corresponds to all the other gullus and that much more. The Medrash says that gullus Edom is the gullus that is bigger and more difficult and unclear when it's going to end, more so than any of the other exiles, which is why nearly 2,000 years later we're still going, we're still trying to figure it out. How do I fix? How do I get to Bayis Shlishi? How do I really correct everything going back to the chet of Adam HaRishon? That's what we're working on today. When Daniel had his dream, his vision of the various exiles, he saw the three exiles in one dream and he saw the fourth and final exile in its own dream. Because the fourth exile is Keneged Kulam, it's as big and as difficult and as all-encompassing as the other three exiles. That's where we find ourselves today. Still grappling, so to speak, with that world of Esav. We know, Shem Yishuel talks about how there are four major sins that also correspond to these four galios. We know the three things that a person, that a Jew needs to be prepared to give his life for are the averos of Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayos. Right? Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Gilui Arayos, adultery, immorality. Shvichas Damim, murder. A Jew has to be prepared to die as opposed to kill another Jew. But the Gemara says there's really a fourth thing that's even bigger than the other three. That's all encompassing. You know what it is? Lashon Hara. The same way that if we use our speech in the right way, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, if I use my speech to study Hashem's word, that's the greatest mitzvah I can do. But when I speak negatively in the way of Esav, that's also keneged kulam. And therefore, says the Shem Yishuel, this fourth exile that we find ourselves in is the exile of Lashon Hara. We're trying to fix the sinas china that destroyed the second base of Mikdash. So then I started thinking, okay, it's Hoshana Rabbah. It's Hoshana Rabbah. It's the day that we emphasize the Aravos. The Shem Yishuel tells us again, the four exiles correspond to these four Averos. So I was thinking, do the Dalet Minim also correspond to these four exiles? Could it be that the Gullus that we find ourselves in today, Gullus Edom, is in fact connected to the Aravos? After all, the Aravos are the Sfasayim, the lips, we're trying to fix our speech, we're trying to use Hoshana Rabbah as the ultimate day of Tefillah, and lo and behold, I found an amazing comment from Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Amor says, Priyetz Hadar, Galus Bavel, Kapos Tamarim, Parasumadai, Anafetz Avos, Yavan, Ve'arve Nachal. The Aravos, Arve Nachal, is Galus Edo. In fact, one of the signs, how do you know if your Aravos are actually good Aravos? Right? One of the ways you can tell is that the stem is actually what? Is Edom, is red. The Mishnah, the Gemara warns us, be careful for something that looks like the Arava called the Tzafzafam. But if it doesn't have a reddish stem, then it's not really an Arava. Because the Aravos correspond to Esav, which is Edom, red. Everything about Esav was red. He looked red. He drank the red soup. Right? His hair was red. Everything about him was red. And therefore, on this day of Hoshana Rabbah, the day that somehow, again, is a day of tefillah. It's a day of proper speech. Somehow it's connected. We're somehow fixing everything that went wrong with Esav. We take the Aravos by themselves. The same way that what? The same way that Edom, that Galus Edom, is keneged kulam, is all-encompassing. The same way that Lashon Hara is all-encompassing. I saw Rav David Cohen, he's a Rav in Brooklyn, he has a sefer called Maisa Avos, in the fourth volume. He says, on Hoshana Rabbah, we take the Aravos by themselves. Because the Aravos also have to be able, keneged kulam, that the Aravos somehow have to do the work of everything, all alone and all by itself. Let's go a step further. Where do the Aravos come from? Where do the Aravos come from? It's a Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. I just realized this afternoon. I was at my parents' house, sitting on the couch, trying to figure this year out. And all of a sudden I realized, my brother was learning Maseches Sukkah, and he read the Mishnah in the fourth parak. Mitzvos Arava Ketza. Where do the Aravos, how do you do the mitzvah of Arava? In the Beis HaMikdash. The practice that we have of taking the Aravos is rooted in a ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a little bit different than what we do. So it says they used to take these long Aravos, these 11 amos, tall Aravos, and they would take them and they would either walk around the Mizbeach or then they would lean them up against the Mizbeach. But they were so tall they would reach to the top of the Mizbeach. Where did they get such big Aravos from? Says the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Sukkah, Makum Hayalamatam Yerushalayim V'nikra Motza. They took the Aravos from a place called Motza. That's the name of the place. It still exists in Eretz Yisrael today. You see signs on the highway, Motza. Right? Lashon HaKodesh, M-O-Z-A in English, Motza. I don't know how, in Arabic, how to read it. I assume it's also Motza. Right? It's called Motza, that's what it's called. And they take the Aravos, these Morbayos, Shal Aravos, these huge Aravos, from a place called Motza. So I'm thinking to myself, Motza? The word Motza appears in the Torah. I said, I wonder how many times the word Motza appears in the Torah. It appears one time in the Torah. There's one passage in Parshas Ekev where the word Motza appears. The Aravos come from a place called Motza. And I looked after Shabbos just to confirm. There's one place the Torah uses the word Motza. It's in Parshas Ekev. You know what the pasuk says? Ki al kol Motza pi Hashem yichya adam. Ki al Motza pi Hashem yichya adam. That the word Motza, which again is the name of a place in the Mishnah, you wouldn't think anything of it. But in the Torah, Motza pi Hashem, Motza also is used in the context of speaking godly speech. Talking in a way that Hashem wants us to speak. That's what the Aravos are, the Sfasayim, the lips. Holy speech. So Motza is so greatly connected to this concept, this day of Tefillah. This day of David Melech va'ani tefillah. This day that we're somehow correcting whatever happened with Yaakov and Esav. That Esav kitzayed v'piv versus the hakol kol Yaakov, that moment where the Jewish people took the brachos and Yaakov took on the avoda to try in some way to replace the failures of Esav. Svasemes even connects it one step further. Svasemes writes in his writings on Sukkot, Tafresh Mem, the year Tafresh Mem, Lachain marbin betfilos v'oshanas besukos, shenifdach bechinas motze piyashem. Svasemes says on Sukkot, it's a time of unbelievable speech. It's a time of tremendous davening. It's a time of Hoshanas. Hoshana, we cry out to Hashem, Hallel. How many words of praise and song and tefillah do we daven during these days? Biprat, says Svasemes, Biyom ha'arava shehu Hoshana Rabba. There's no greater day to use your lips, to use your mouth to serve Hashem. V'ugmar atanis ki yadua. Shoshana Rabba chisum gemar din shel Yom HaKippur. Svasemes makes this connection. That Sukkot, and all the more so Hoshana Rabba, is about motza pi Hashem. It's about finding godly speech. Somehow again, correcting that failure of the lips of Esav, and somehow continuing to try to hear the kol kol Yaakov, the resonating voice of Yaakov Avinu. Now, like I said before, Yaakov didn't finish the job. Yaakov didn't finish the job, and the greatest proof is that we're still sitting in Galat, and that we don't have Bayis Shlishi. So my friends, we need to come back to our other puzzle piece, and that is David HaMelech. David HaMelech va'ani tefillah. Is David HaMelech, can we suggest the following? And again, help me. Can we suggest that maybe David HaMelech comes to replace Esav HaRasha? That there are supposed to be four avos: Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav. And maybe Esav failed, and Yaakov says, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, I'll be Esav. I have a double speech, HaKol Kol Yaakov, I can fix it. Right? And yet, it didn't seem to work. So maybe we need David HaMelech to take that role of the fourth of the avos. Do we find such a thing? We do find such a thing. There's a very deep idea, and again, it requires a lot of development. But when we talk about Hashem's Merkava, Hashem's divine chariot, if you will, the way that the Navi saw it in his vision, right? If we can imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu being carried through this world by the people who care about Him most, the people who fight for God more than anyone else. And again, the Avos are the ones who led the way, along with their wives, the Imos, their counterparts. The divine chariot. How many wheels does a chariot have? It has to have four wheels. That's why there are four Imos. That's why there are supposed to be four Avos. Esav failed. Could it be that David HaMelech took the place? Listen to the words of the Ramban. Listen to the words of the Ramban in his Sefer HaMunah V'Habitachon in Perek Tesvav. Ulefi shenitnu midos elu l'avos. Lakach amru chazal ha'avos hein hemerkava. The avos are the divine chariot. The avos are the ones who carry God's presence through this world. Ve'ein ha'avos el gimel. But the avos are only three. Ve'ein merkava pechusa midalid. And there can't be a chariot. What kind of wagon drives with three wheels? You need a fourth wheel. Umihu ha'revi'i, says the Ramban. And many other svarim say this as well. Who's the fourth wheel? David HaMelech. Says the Ramban, David HaMelech. Va'ani tefillah. The great davener. Ne'im zmiros Yisrael, the one who wrote Tehillim for us. David HaMelech says, I'll be the fourth wheel of the chariot. The Svarim bring a remez. There's a sefer of drashos called Darash Moshe. It's not Rav Moshe Feinstein, a different Darash Moshe. And he says that if you take the gematria of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David, is gematria 652, which is gematria Merkava Shlema, the complete chariot, the full chariot. The divine chariot can only be complete when David HaMelech, so to speak, takes his place in expressing himself, Va'ani tefillah. So now we come to the final step. Everyone's been patient, and I showed up 5 minutes late, but I'm also going to go a few minutes overtime. Anyone needs to leave at any point, you can leave. But I think this is exciting. We're on our way. We're putting together some nice pieces. So let's see if we can finish up. David says, Va'ani tefillah. David is the great speaker, the spokesman, the one who has the most refined speech, perhaps, of anyone, of the Jewish people. And David says, I am tefillah. So that's great. He's gonna replace Asa. But there's one other place where David says, I am something. There's something else that David is the embodiment of, and it's really the antithesis. It's the zeh l'umas zeh, so to speak, of Esav. Pasuk says in Kohelis, "V'gam zeh l'umas zeh osa Elokim." That means for every positive koach in the world, there's something negative that opposes it. For everything that Esav wasn't, David has to become that thing in a positive sense. And therefore, David HaMelech has to correct the speech, the broken speech of Esav. Esav, again, kitzai b'fiv. He had potential in his mouth, but he used it in the wrong way. David HaMelech says, Va'ani tefillah. David replaces Esav in that way. But there's one other place where David says, I am something. David says, Ani Shalom. David says, I am Shalom v'chi adaber. Ani Shalom, Tehillim Perek Kuf Chaf. Ani Shalom v'chi adaber heima l'milchama. The Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, just to be honest, to read it fairly, David says, Ani Shalom, I come in peace. Right? V'chi adaber, that's my dibor, that's my suggestion, that's my offering. Heima l'milchama, but they oppose me with war. David says, I always make offerings of peace, but they oppose me with war. Very interesting. Shalom and Melchama. If you were paying attention today, when we read Kohelis in the third parak, Eis Shalom, Eis Melchama. So Shalom and Melchama are opposites. If I asked you to describe Esav, right, the picture that you have of Esav, the first thing that comes to mind is someone who's involved in Melchama. Esav, the warrior, the hunter, the one who's always going out, who's always fighting, who's always engaged in battles, right, taking advantage of people. Esav with his sword, with his weapons. The weapon of the Jewish people is tefillah. Yaakov says, I conquered the city, Bacharbi of Akashti, right, with my sword and my bow and arrow. Unkele says, with my tefillah. That's our weapon. David Melech says, Ani Shalom. Ani Shalom. My very essence is peace. David was also a fierce warrior. But David says, I come in peace. I don't look to fight. I am Shalom. Heima l'mechama. And the opposite of me is Esav, the one who is the embodiment of Muhammad. Now I want to read together, very quickly, a small piece from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, hey, no cheating, Justin. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, be patient. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov has a piece of Torah in Likutei Moharan where he connects this idea of Shalom and Melchama to speech. Because you can't speak if you don't have Shalom. You can't even begin to pronounce, can't even begin to enunciate if you don't have Shalom. So David HaMelech says, Ani Tefillah, Ani Shalom. Heima l'melchama, my enemies are melchama. Kitzayid v'piv, Esav is the one of corrupted speech. Listen to the words of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. L'kutei Moharan, Torah Reish Lamentes. Al yedei machlokes I efshar l'daber. When there's machlokes, you can't even speak. Ki ikir hadibur hu mishalom. Because the essence of speech comes from shalom. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Adabra na shalom. Adabra na shalom. Balking. And therefore, before we begin to daven, a Jew has to feel what? Shalom, achdus, connected to other Jews. I have to make sure that there's a sense of shalom in my life between myself and my fellow Jews in order to be able to open my mouth, in order to be able to communicate with the Kodesh Baruch. And therefore, David HaMelech, he says, Ani Shalom. Says Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, David HaMelech, the great davener that he was, has to say, if I am tefillah, I'm also shalom. The antithesis of Melchama, the antithesis of Machlokas, that world of Esav, that world of Pirun, that world of divisiveness, as opposed to the world of Yaakov, that world of harmony. Right? Yaakov says, Yaakov came to Mitzrayim 70 souls, but it says Nefesh in Lashon Yachid. Esav's family is described as Nefashos, different souls, even within the family. There was Machlokas, there was Pirun, there was a lack of people working together. So therefore, David HaMelech says, I am Shalom. Sukkis is a Zman of Shalom. The Yom Tov that we're putting our conclusion, Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot. We're putting an end on the Yom Tov of Shalom. This is the Sukkot is the Yom Tov. Why are we able to speak so much on Sukkot? And why when we come to the last day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, we open our mouths like never before. Unbelievable tefillos. Because it's a time of Shalom. Haporeis Sukkas Shalom Aleinu. Sukkot is a Zman of Shalom. The Rebbe of Kamarna wrote in his parish on Pirkei Avos, we know the world stands on three things. Beginning of Pirkei Avos, it tells us that the world stands on Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. Then it tells us a little bit later that the world stands on Din, Emes, and Shalom. Says the Notzer Chesed, the Rebbe of Kamarna, the world stands on Din, Rosh Hashanah. The world stands on Emes, Yom Kippur. The world stands on Shalom, Sukkis. Sukkis is a Zman of Shalom. But more so than any day, the ultimate day of Shalom is Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, the culmination of Sukkot, is the greatest day of Shalom. It's the greatest day of Achdus. And therefore it becomes the greatest day of Tefillah. Because again, when there's Shalom, Ani Shalom v'chi adaber. When there's Shalom, a person's able to speak. Shalom na adabra. Right? When there's Shalom, a person has the ability to open his mouth and to speak. How do you see that the last day of Sukkot, that Hoshana Rabbah is a day of Shalom? So I'd like to suggest the following. So Asemis writes in his writings on Pesach, he says that we know the shorish of all bracha is Birchas Kohanim. And Birchas Kohanim also is made up of three brachos. Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, Ya'er, and then Yisa. Says the Sfas Emes, Yivarechecha, the first of the three brachos of the Kohanim, corresponds to Pesach. Ya'er corresponds to Shavuos. And the last bracha corresponds to Sukkos. The last bracha, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom, corresponds to Sukkos. But it's so much more amazing than that. How many words are in that last bracha? Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom, 7 words. Which means that the 7th word corresponds to the 7th day of Sukkos, which is Hoshana Rabbah. Which means Hoshana Rabbah is a day of Shalom. Hoshana Rabbah is the ultimate day of Shalom. Hapore Sukkos Shalom Aleinu, all of Sukkos is about Shalom. But Hoshana Rabbah is the ultimate day of Bracha. It's the ultimate day of Shalom. Lo Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Mishnah says, Lo Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Li Yisrael, Ela Shalom. Shalom is the receptacle, is the Kli. It's the greatest instrument, the greatest vessel to be Makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bracha in this world. And therefore David HaMelech on his day, the 7th day of Sukkot, says, Ani Shalom. Ani Shalom. This is my day. Shalom is the day, it is the word that corresponds to this day. Says the Medrash. Let's come back now to Vezel Umaseh. Let's come back to Esav. Who is Esav? Esav is the warrior. Esav is the one who wages Milchama. Esav is the one who causes divisiveness, who tears apart families, tears apart even his own family. Says the Medrash on Tehillim, Esav was sonei shalom. That's the Lashon of the Medrash. Esav hated shalom. That's the Lashon of the Medrash. Esav was a hater of shalom. His whole essence was that he was against shalom. Eis milchama ve'eis shalom. Like we said this morning in Kohelis, that the opposite of shalom is milchama. Esav says, I'm milchama, and I hate shalom. Esav had so much potential. He could have been that fourth of the Avos. He could have been the one to be the greatest embodiment of shalom. But unfortunately, he failed to do it. And David says, I'll take your place. Ani shalom. I'll be shalom. I'll take your place. David HaMelech says, I'll take your place. What's the gematria of Esav's name? What's the gematria of Esav's name? Ayin, Sin, Vav, 376. His gematria? The very same numerical equivalent, the very essence of his name, Shalom, 376. Esav could have been Shalom. Esav could have been the one who reconciles that world of Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. When there are things in life that are not so simple and they don't work hand in hand so easily, Esav could have been that one, but instead he became the very opposite of that. He became what the Medrash calls a Sonei Shalom. So David HaMelech says, I'll take your place. I'll be that fourth wheel of the divine chariot. Ani Shalom. Ani Tfila. I'll be the one. No, Justin, what do you want to say? My father says you have to speak. No, what do you want to say? Okay. David Ben. Okay. Good. Good. Very good. So David says, I'll be Shalom. David says it explicitly. Ani Shalom. But here's an unbelievable. Here's my gift to you for Hoshana Rabbah. And this, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me this. As I'm putting this all together, I said again, let's recap and we'll wrap up. We're done in 5 minutes. We started off, we spoke about David, we spoke about the Aravos. The Aravos correspond to the lips, David corresponds to the lips. And we chazered all of history, how Adam HaRishon failed to listen to Hashem. He fell for the deceptive speech of the Nachash, and the world was destroyed. There was an Eitz Hadas, and there was an Eitz HaChayim. Yaakov is Adam Kodem Achim, the Eitz HaChayim. Esav was supposed to be the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, the reconciliation, to make Shalom. What does the word Shalom mean? Shalom means to reconcile things. Shalom means to take Eish and Mayim and to make Shalom, to reconcile things. Like Rashi says at the beginning of Chumash, to take disparate worlds and to bring them together as opposed to pulling them apart. And Esav says, I could have been Shalom. He could have been Shalom. His very name is the Gematria Shalom. He could have become Shalom or he could become the antithesis of Shalom. And he chose to be the very opposite of Shalom. So David HaMelech says, I'll be Shalom. Ani Shalom. Va'ani Tfila. Let's come back to our dear friends, the Aravos. Those Aravos that we're going to take in our hands tomorrow on Yom Arava, on the day of the Arava. What did the Torah tell us? We saw earlier that the Aravos correspond to the lips. We saw earlier that the Aravos correspond to the fourth and final exile, the fourth thing mentioned in the four Minim. The Aravos correspond to Edom. The Aravos came from a place called Motza. Al Motza Pi Hashem. Right? The fourth exile, Lashon Hara. The Aravos are fixing everything that's broken with speech. And therefore the Aravos also have to have this quality of Shalom. This ability to be David. It's David's day. David, Ani Shalom, the opposite of Esav. The Aravos also have to be Shalom. So let's go back to the Pasuk in Chumash that introduces us to the Dalet Minim. U'lekachtem lachem bayom harishon. Take for yourself on the first day, beginning from the beginning of Sukkot. Take what? Pri Eitz Hadar, Kapos Tamarim, Anaf Eitz Avos, And what's the last thing you take? Ve'arve nachal. What's the gematria of ve'arve nachal? Unbelievable. Pnimiyas HaTorah, secrets of the Torah. What's the exact gematria of ve'arve nachal? The exact words the Torah used to describe the Aravos. 376. Exactly the gematria of Shalom, exactly the gematria of Esav, exactly the sugya that we're working on. So when you take those Aravos in your hands tomorrow, and we come once again before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now we come not only as Yaakov Avinu coming to get the brachos, but we come as David and Yaakov together. Coming to Yitzchak, so to speak, to get the brachos once again. The Zohar even says an unbelievable thing, we can't develop it now because we don't have time. But the Zohar says that when David HaMelech said, Ani Shalom V'chi Adaber, that pasuk, the Zohar says that Ani Shalom V'chi Adaber, David saying that Mizmor, when he was thinking and when he was writing about the brachos that Yaakov got from his father Yitzchak. That somehow that parsha of Yaakov and Esav comes to its conclusion with the efforts that David made to replace the wicked Esav. So let's just go back one time. Let's go back in and stand before Yitzchak one more time as Yaakov gets the brachos. Because you see an unbelievable thing. He walks into the room. He walks into the room. And he sees Yitzchak is delighted. Rashi says he smells what? He says, There's the scent of Gan Eden in here, right? Why does he smell the scent of Gan Eden? Because again, this is fixing everything that went wrong in Gan Eden. This is going back to Adam HaRishon. I smell the scent of Gan Eden. And the truth is, there's a very interesting blend that's presenting itself before me. Hakol kol Yaakov ayadayim yidei Esav. And he's trying to figure out, is this Esav finally correcting himself? Is this the Eitz Hadas? Is this the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra? That complex blend finally coming to a state of Shalom? Being able to subdue the negativity and to emphasize the positivity and to create that blend that our lives are made up of. Where we're not always going to be Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. Right? We live in a world of complexity, of a lot of nuance. When did Yaakov come before his father? What calendar day was it? The Vilna Gaon says it was Rosh Hashanah. It was on Rosh Hashanah. Yaakov comes in, he's disguised as Esav, he's trying to replace Esav. He's trying to somehow blend together himself with Esav to fix everything. There's a scent of Gan Eden. He's so close. He's so close to being able to execute exactly what he's trying to do. But it doesn't work out exactly. Something's a little bit off. Because it's Rosh Hashanah. It's not yet Hoshana Rabbah. We need Hoshana Rabbah to finish the work of correcting Eitz Hadas. That's why the Sfarim tell us, what's the gematria of Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshana Rabbah is exactly gematria Eitz Hadas. Because on Hoshana Rabbah we come back and we fix the Eitz Hadas Tovara. We come to fix everything. And therefore, Yaakov knows this. He knows that he can't do it on his own. He knows that we need Hoshana Rabbah, that we need David HaMelech. Yaakov may be Rosh Hashanah, but we need David HaMelech to be Hoshana Rabbah. Yaakov is trying desperately to make it happen. What word does he use over and over and over again? It's such a strange thing. He keeps saying to his father, what's the word? When Rashi says, Hakol Kol Yaakov, what word did he keep saying? That Yitzchak keeps saying, why do you keep saying this word? That's not how Esav talks. No, he keeps saying the word no. He keeps saying no, please. Kum no, sit up my father. He keeps saying no over and over and over again. Why does he keep saying no? Why does he keep saying no? You know what the Sfarim say about the word no? Hoshana Rabbah is the 51st day from the beginning of the process of this whole process of the Yom Noran. We come to day 51, we come to Hoshana Rabbah. And Yaakov keeps saying, no, no, no. He keeps saying, Hoshana Rabbah. He's trying to somehow inject a little Hoshana Rabbah into this moment to be able to walk out, to fix the Eitz Hadas, the Gematria Hoshana Rabbah. He's trying to do it all. But he's not David HaMelech. And he can't finish the job. And therefore David HaMelech says, Ani Shalom. David HaMelech says, I am Shalom. That you're not able to do it on your own. And that's why David HaMelech says, what did Rabbi Nachman quote? What puzzle did Rabbi Nachman of Breslov quote? Adabra na Shalom. Adabra na Shalom. On Hoshana Rabbah, Shalom is complete. Esav is fixed. And we're able to come full circle. We also, in conclusion, we also play a role in this. We're living in a time of Eitz Hadas Tovara. Because David HaMelech also didn't fix yet. David HaMelech, Mashiach's not here. There's still a little bit more to do. We also have to do our part in making Shalom. We live in a world where the world is spinning in every direction. On the one hand, there are Jews returning to Torah and mitzvot like never before, and on the other hand, there are Jews running away from Torah and mitzvot like never before. We're living in a world that's somehow caught very deeply between the world of Tov and the world of Ra. And we, the ikvus of the Mashiach, have to help everything that Adam Arishon got wrong and Esav continued to get wrong. And Yaakov tried to get right and David HaMelech tried even harder and that much closer to get it right. We, the ikvus of the Mashiach, the way that the Svarim referred to us, that generation before the coming of Mashiach, we have to do our part to help as well. So I want to give you one final remez. The word Shalom, there's another way to calculate the gematria. We spoke a lot about 376 tonight. Esav is 376, Shalom is 376, Va'arve Nachal is 376, Shalom is 376. We're trying to work on this word Shalom. There's another way to calculate the word Shalom. The Mem Sofi, and again, when we do gematrias, that just means we're delving deeper into the Torah. We're looking at it under a microscope to try to understand the words that much deeper. The word Shalom, the Yom Tov HaSukkah, Hoshana Rabbah, the last word of Birchas Kohanim, the shorish of all brachas, we try to solidify once and for all the brachas that Yaakov got from Yitzchak. The word Shalom, there's another way to calculate it. The Mem Sofi, already we find in very early sources, not stuff we made up last week. Already in the earliest of Jewish sources, we find that Mem Sofi, after you go Aleph through Tav, 1 to 400, Chaf Sofi is 500, Mem Sofi is 600. If you calculate Shalom, Mem Sofi is 600, it's Gematria 936, which is Gematria Ikvus of the Mashiach. Ikvus of the Mashiach is the term that every Sefer uses to describe this period in which we're living right now. The ability for Jews like ourselves, in a world that is so pulled apart, to try to make Shalom, to somehow partner with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We conclude every Shemona Esrei, Sim Shalom. We end with the Bracha of Shalom. The Kohanim conclude their Bracha with Shalom. We're always ending with Shalom. Eliyahu Navi, the Mishnah says, comes to the world to bring Shalom. That's what Mashiach's about, making Shalom. And Rosh Hashanah Rav is an unbelievable opportunity for us to pour out our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those aravos, with those lips in our hands and those lips on our lips, where we don't need a shofar because we trust our own voices. We trust our own inner voice. HaKol Kol Yaakov. That our inner voice should be like our outer voice. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to listen to that voice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us to accept our tefillos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take that petek, should take that note in his hand as we wish each other on Rosh Hashanah Rav, Piskatava, Piskatava. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come, Lishpot es har Esav. The Svarim say, Lishpot es har Esav. Lishpot es har Esav. The Svarim say, is Rashi Tevos, Lamed, Lishpot, Lamed, Lulav, Es, Aleph, Esrog, Har, Hey, is Hadas, and Esav is Ayin. But Esav, we come to Har Seir. We come to Har Seir, to conquer Esav once and for all. At the end of days, to say no more Galus Edom. Hashem, we're ready for Mashiach. We don't speak Lashon Hara anymore. We speak nicely to other Jews. And therefore we wish each other on Hoshana Rabbah, Piska Tava. Piska, the note should be good. As Hashem puts the final touches on our notes, for Tav Shanai and Zion, we say it should be a Piska Tava. Piska is 581, one more than Seir. Piska Tava. We wish each other, let's be a little bigger and better than Esav. Let's be a little more refined than Esav. Let's speak nicely to one another. Let's daven the way a Jew is supposed to daven. Let's be ani tefila. Let's be ani shalom. And then Amir Tz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we'll take us to Har Esav, Lishpot as Har Esav, once and for all, with the conclusion of Galus Adam and the Gula Shleima B'mehera B'Yameinu. Amen.